Title of the message, the study tonight is Biblical Kitchenware, What Kind of Vessel? And my spiritual application is going to be to ask what type of vessel you are. But let's deal with some practical things here. And I'll give you an introduction to why I chose this topic. We have a lot to do. We have a lot to that's before us. And we have perilous times in our country. And in case anybody in the future ever looks back and says, you know, look at the spiritual state of things, look at the political state of things, and he was studying kitchenware. I want to let you know that, well, they got on the J.R. Grades in the middle of the Civil War for studying beards, you know. But you know what? I think there probably be something about war and manliness that maybe he had an application. And let me at least give you my point today. And that is that Caleb, when he was 84 years old, 85 years old, said that I'm as strong today for war as I was when I was 40. And I want you to be strong. I want us to be strong. Strong spiritually, morally, but strong physically as well. And it's very important to me that we find out why people today, at 40 years old, are starting to look and act like and have the weakness of men that used to be 60 and 70 and 80. Something's happening. And there's only two principles. Taking in that which is right and good and healthy, and not taking in that which is poisonous. And that's true morally, isn't it? That's the key to moral strength in Jesus, is staying away from things which weaken us and partaking of that which strengthens us. And it's the same in the physical. So let's begin. Dear Lord, I do pray that you help us in this study, bless us. And we do pray in this day and age to do things wise. In Jesus' name, amen. In this study, we're going to cover some practical ground concerning physical things, and we'll close, as I said, with a brief spiritual application. If you do not trust God through His Word for your body, which you can see, how far will you really trust Him for your soul, which you cannot see? And I'm just asking that. It's something I throw out quite often. And as long as we're in these mortal bodies, there will be some degree of disease, sickness, weakness, suffering. I understand that. And I also understand that there is an attitude. I heard one church, Baptist church, not far from here, one day I was listening to one of their sermons, and I was at the church, and a lot of the young pastors got up, assistant pastors and youth leaders, and they started making jokes. They say, well, you know what? Lester Roloff believed in eating healthy and taking care of your body, and he died with a plane crash. And the whole church started laughing, and the point of all of that was, there's no need. You're going to die anyway. And that is the prevalent attitude today. You're going to die anyway. We might as well just not care about these things. But I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find that attitude. And he was old anyway. Yes, indeed. Healthy and strong and did a lot. Amen, brother. Now, whatever is impossible to escape should be endured with patience. And I understand that. But there is a degree of suffering, a great degree, that is due to our sins of commission and omission. The curse causeless shall not come, right? And sometimes it's a judgment from God. Sometimes He just leaves us to our sins and the effects, and sometimes it's a judgment. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And I find it interesting, He didn't qualify it. He didn't go through a long discourse about Job and how sometimes we can be sick because it's the will of God. And I believe that's a biblical doctrine. But for that church, He never qualified it. He just said, this is why it's happening to you. And we certainly should judge ourselves. Exodus 15, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, will give ear to His commandments and keep how many? All of His statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He didn't say there wouldn't die. He didn't say there would be no death. But, you know, Caleb at 85 years old was pretty incredible. And you can't blame that. upon a pre-flood vapor canopy. You understand? This is after the flood. And I believe it was from responsible, godly obedience, which included physical health and diet and such like. Now, sometimes it's our own lack of knowledge that brings much needless misery. We've covered this in recent sermons. Hosea 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast what? Rejected knowledge. Now here's my point that I want to stress to you today. This introduction might apply to numerous subjects related to health in the Bible. For example, Jesus sent his disciples to walk miles around Israel in mere sandals. Was it because Jesus didn't understand the research of Nike in the 1960s about heel support and all those things? No. Maybe modern man's not as wise as he thinks he is. And maybe Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Of course, I know Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Researchers, as we've seen in many past messages, are now finding that shoes with large heels and so-called support actually can cause damage to the knees. The worst case would be the high heels that some women wear, but there's different degrees of these heels. And I know in my own life I had a lot of foot problem and ankle problems, and just it was getting crazy. And trying to see specialists almost, I was at the door of that until really I discovered this, and they all went away. They all went away. Praise God for that. All my troubles. Researchers, as we have seen, are now finding that these things actually damage. And shoes with no heel support prompt us to walk on the balls of our feet, which is the correct way. Just a quick example to show you these isolated statements of the Bible that seem like just mere history often contain, or I'd say always contain, some nuggets of wisdom and divine wisdom. There's nothing in the Bible that is simply, what's a word that I could use? Trivial, thank you. And when it comes to nutrition and food, as with all other subjects the Bible addresses, the wisdom of God's Word knows no bounds. It predates modern research and science. Now, there are prohibitions and direct commandments in the Bible. And a lot of times our problem is we don't know these commandments. And if we knew them, it would help us and keep us from a lot of trouble. But it's worse than this. There are also illustrations in the Bible. Let me give you an example. Peter, centuries later, calls attention to how Sarah spoke about her husband when talking to herself. That's just a little history in the Bible. As she sat there and she called him Lord, talking to herself. And Peter says, that's Bible doctrine. Did you see what she did? If God recorded it, it's there for a reason, right? So in 1 Peter 3, he says, this is an example for you ladies of this inner heart of reverence a wife should have for her husband. So the command was illustrated. It wasn't just a trivial illustration for us. It actually taught us something very important. Another example. Jesus teaches the Pharisees, calls attention to how David ate the shewbread to teach a lesson to those Pharisees. So there wasn't no command. There wasn't anything. But his whole point was, hey, David broke a ceremonial command in an emergency. He's greater than David, isn't he? And his point was simply, that was Bible doctrine they should have considered before they came and condemned him. That doesn't mean walk all over God's commandments, because a lot of people got in a lot of trouble touching the ark and things like that. No, you better be careful walking over God's commandments. But God, being a just, merciful God, there are some things that He meant for a purpose, and He did not mean us to be weighted down by some of the aspects. He never meant the Sabbath day to be turned into such a thing where you couldn't heal somebody else. And you understand things like that. If your ass falls into a pit, get it after church. Go get it. Amen. Come to church and then go get it. Amen. Now, what we learn from all of this is that we can glean instruction and knowledge from not only direct commandments, but also from the history and ways of God's people revealed in the inspired Scriptures. That's very important. I don't know if you caught that. Let us never forget that the history of the Bible is what type of history? Inspired history, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Written for our learning, Romans chapter
15, verse 4.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that history in the Bible is there for a reason. And it's inspired history. And this shines a light upon the warning that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We often miss not only the Bible's commands, but also the instructive history and examples. If we have rejected knowledge, a large body of that knowledge are statements like, Jacob sent almonds to Joseph. You're like, oh, okay, you know, what's this got to do with me? Well, maybe it has a lot to do with you. Maybe your brain needed some almonds. And maybe if we would look at that and say, they considered that to be worth a lot of money. They considered that a great treasure. Maybe there's something in almonds I need. That's just a simple, quick example that I could think of to let you see. Let's search the Scriptures and understand that when we read this history, you're not reading just a nice story about Jacob. There are divine keys to health and life, because He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, has He not? Amen. Modern man believes he's improved upon his forefathers, doesn't he? He certainly does. And he doesn't realize, really, he's just right back in many ways to the book of Genesis, where you had great technological advances, and then the devils came down and everything became GMO and genetic modification, all kinds of mess. And we're just simply right back, and God in His Word did everything He could to warn us. I think those principles in the Old Testament about wearing garments that are mixed with different types, I think what He's saying is, listen, I don't want you taking my creation and mixing things up. Like the vegetables now that are part fish gene and part I mean, did God want that to happen? There's a monstrosity, and we're going to talk about that later, because a lot of the Greek fables and things that we look at and these creatures that they created, who knows what the devils really had taught ancient man. But that's a whole other subject. But hey, we are headed to some times when I believe what God is saying, no more. You're perverting my world, you're mixing up everything, and I'm not going to let it. He comes in Revelation 11, the last trump, and says, the time has come that He might destroy them that what? Destroy the earth. You're just scrambling up everything and mixing it up in ways He never intended. It's a bunch of perversion. Moral perversion, physical perversion. Well, let's get moving. I got to quit preaching because we got a lot of things here to cover. But man thinks he's improved upon his forefathers. He might call attention to his great technology and gadgets and such like. But I would say much of what you've created, you're standing upon the shoulders of people that already did all the math and legwork and, in earlier generations when they were seeking God and reading the Bible. Amen? But if you think that you're evolving and progressing, why don't we take a look at the moral state of the modern family? We're losing some basic common sense about life, are we not? Because the common sense is not politically correct. So it must be rejected at all costs. At all costs. Before man boasts in his practical wisdom, he should remember such things as the Crisco, margarine, trans fat fiasco. After decades of experts touting these products, we now know that people were much better off with butter from grass-fed organic cows and olive oil. But they came in and taught generations in the early 20th century that the experts say you ought to switch to this plastic stuff, you know, and put that in your arteries, and it'll be better. You don't want to do like Grandma did. She didn't know what she's doing. You know, you got to follow the doctors and the experts. And now we see it took about 80 years for the truth to come out, and they couldn't suppress it anymore. And so now they quietly just admit to it, and everybody's, well, where's the big apology? Where's the big warning? This is what happens when you follow the experts and reject God's Word. Nobody apologized. Not long ago, doctors recommended tobacco. You ever see the ads in the 60s and they show the doctors? Numerous doctors recommend, you know, our cigarettes. And we laugh at that now. But that just shows modern man, does it not? Let me show you this. There were the newspaper columns in the 1970s by Dr. Frederick J. Stare, a nutritionist and professor at Harvard School of Public Health, who sincerely advised, I say sincerely, He was serious. He sincerely advised, quote, eat your additives. They're good for you. He called junk food fun food, and it was encouraged. Starr and his colleagues refused to argue that any food was bad. So you know what that is? That's called propaganda. It's called damage control. It's called, we want Americans to eat this stuff, and we have to put a doctor in the paper that will teach people. I mean, if you get one of these dirt doctors that are saying, let's be organic, you're always going to have on another station somewhere, somebody's going to fund and put a lot of money in another fella that's going to get on the radio and say, put pesticides and everything all over your food, and let me show you the latest brand. And, you know, you've got to have damage control, propaganda damage control. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. He's one of the biggest. Dr. Oz. Starr was the spokesman for the sugar industry. Did you know that? And he received retainers from the cereal industry. So his articles were not just mere information. It was paid, funded information, was it not? All right. The food he condoned for Americans has now been found by modern scientists to be extremely harmful. Huffington Post, December 3rd, 2012, just this month, last month, says researchers and health professionals have long been aware of the consequences associated with eating fast food. But until now, no one realized how quickly the damage begins. A new study published in the Canadian Journal of Cardiology indicates that damage to the arteries occurs almost immediately after just one, that's right, one junk food type meal. Oh, really, Dr. Starr? Well, then you're guilty of murder. Because you killed a whole generation with your propaganda lies. But now we know. Based on the science, moderation with junk food doesn't really exist. How about that? The study compared the effects of a junk food. Remember, everybody's like, well, just be moderate. You ought to be moderate in everything. That's their answer to every single thing. The study compared the effects of a junk food meal and a Mediterranean-based meal on the inner lining of the blood vessels. Mediterranean, like Greece, Israel, the area over there, like Bible. On the inner lining of the blood vessels, the results were not pretty. Almost immediately after eating one fast food sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich, the men's arteries dilated 24%. After you want your arteries dilated? You know what that means? No blood gets through. After consuming only one junk food meal. With that in mind, can you imagine the arterial damage from consistently consuming one fast food Egg McMuffin every day? Isn't it time we assess the true value of that value meal? Yeah, I think so. The examples of ancient biblical foresight in the realm of nutrition are endless. For example, we've noticed that bread was ground daily in the Bible, and flour was not stored for very long. And we've seen how our health is compromised from consuming packaged flours and rancid oils, not to mention packaged chips made with vegetable oils that have been cooked, packaged, and allowed to grow rancid. Just little things. The Bible telling you about flour being ground daily and not really seeing flour stored for very long in the Bible. And there was a lesson there. There was wisdom there that could save a lot of people from serious health problems. But it seemed so trivial, but it was a power-packed information, very important from God. In other words, when we examine how people did things in the Bible, and we receive this insight as inspired revelation, it provides us with light to walk through the darkness of this modern age. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, and what? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. You know what acknowledge means? It says, let me see if God had anything to say about this. I'm going to acknowledge God. God, do you have anything to say about this thing here? I'm going to acknowledge you. And He shall what? Direct thy paths. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, which, by the way, is pre-scientific wisdom here about how the bones and all of that we covered on Sunday. Yes, sir, brother. That's your belly. Yeah, yeah, that whole area there, which we now know is so important, probiotics and things, so important to a man's health is that navel. And we found out how important the marrow was to your whole immune system. Now, what we see here is that God said, acknowledge me in all your ways. But immediately the psychologist is going to stand up and say, wait a second, preacher. We have the realm of man's emotions and his behavior. If you want to give him a few psalms for their spirit, whatever that is, that's fine. But we're going to take care of his soul. We're going to take care of his emotions and all of that. See, and I say, no deal with me. No deal with me. I never acknowledge your right to exist. I never acknowledge that you have... And then the physical doctor stands up. And really, a lot of that's been taken out of the realm of science, and they ought to base all their science upon the Word of God anyway. But the scientific method, I mean. But what they say is, no, on physical things, we'll handle that. And we'll just let God handle your spirit. See, they want to put God over here in this little box. But God says, love Him with your whole body, with your whole mind, with your whole strength. Basically, your whole body, soul, and spirit be blameless until the coming. And God tells you how to live and tells you many things about your body and about your spirit and about your soul. And we need to acknowledge Him in these things. And that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So let's examine this subject of biblical kitchenware in light of this introduction. What kind of vessels does the Bible endorse for food and drink? This might be more important than you realize. Because I've preached quite often over the years on not putting poisons in your body. And if you're going to go to the trouble to get nice, good, grass-fed meat from organic animals that's not filled with hormones and pesticides and not raised eating pig blood and all of this type of stuff. If you're trying to do what's right and stay away from poisons, you're staying away from Dr. Pepper and all of this stuff. You're doing what you can to put good things in your body and so you can be strong and all of the things that come with good health. Well, what if your good food that you're spending a lot of money for or going to a lot of trouble to raise, if you're putting it in vessels that are, you might have good water, but in ancient Rome, when they ran it through lead pipes, a lot of people got sick. You understand? And so, it's very important what type of vessel. You might have the Word of God, but what type of vessel are you morally? Well, let's look at the physical realm. What type of vessels? I'll tell you how this happened. I was studying the mercury that's in people's mouth through the fillings. And I was sitting down doing some research on what can we stick in people's mouth if you had to go that route and you didn't regrow the tooth and do everything you could to stop the... Of course, if you get off the cane sugar and put some cinnamon and whatever you can back there, cinnamon oil, to try to kill the infection. But apart from that, let's say you had to get a filling in there. I was doing a little bit of research to see what to stick in there. And I began reading these scientific articles about stainless steel and metal being put in people's body and how it was leaching and there were lawsuits being filed. I said, do what? I said, wait just a second. Stainless steel? And then I just started thinking. I said, what in the world is stainless steel? And I began to say, what did they eat out of in the Bible? And we've already been deceived by margarine and Crisco and everything else. I don't want to be deceived again. I want to go back to the Bible. And the first thing I realized, they didn't eat out of plastic in the Bible. Okay? So we can just scratch that right there. They didn't eat out of plastic. And so my point is, shouldn't modern man tread softly when faced with such a radical difference in such vital areas? I mean, plastic has exploded now. It's in everything. Everything you eat is just about in plastic. And we've done the studies and shown how it's not just so-called BPA-free or BPA-filled plastic, but there's like 100 different chemical like BPA that promote cancer and mimic natural estrogen and xenoestrogens, so-called. So therefore, this has a one on it. You know, I can drink out of it. No, I'm sorry, friend. There's like 100 other things in there that are going to feminize you, give cancer, and all types. And who knows what else? How that's affecting your emotions. And so I, for one, I'm not messing around with it. Such a radical change. Not only is it messing up the environment, but such a radical change. Such a big difference. If they didn't do that in the Bible, and man says, well, they didn't understand that back then. Well, but God gave me all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I just don't think that I'm not. I've already seen all the tests and studies coming out about this. And to the degree that I can, I'm going to try to be plastic free. And I know that's hard. I know that's hard. All right. If you could show me a plastic bottle in the Bible, then maybe I'll change my view about that. Now, second thing, it wasn't aluminum. They did not eat and drink out of aluminum in the Bible. Kiplinger's Personal Finance in 1950 says the door-to-door salesman uses arts and blandishments to persuade the non-buying housewife. Aluminum pots and pans are a historic example of this point. When they were first manufactured around when? In the days of Jesus? What does it say? The turn of the century, skeptical housewives shied away from them. Good for them. Rumor, one of those conspiracy theories, was that food cooked in such utensils might be poisonous. So what grandma was saying, you ain't bringing that stuff around here to my house. And everybody's like, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's not a doctor. I just feel it in my bones. You shouldn't bring that stuff around here, those newfangled things. So what they did to overcome this was put out scientific articles. Oh, you people don't understand. This is science. This is the newfound discovery of aluminum. It's going to bless you. And you know what every one of those people could say? Oh, they didn't eat out of that in the Bible, and I'm not risking the health of my family. You better wait 100 years of testing that when you try to bury all the information. We'll see 100 years later when all the truth comes out. But I'm not putting that stuff in my house. Well, they did. They launched a big propaganda machine. I don't have them all. I'll just give you a few of them just to show you the scientific magazines. Door-to-door selling, what do they say? Changed all that. They changed all of that. How did they change it? Same way they convinced them to eat Crisco. Let me show you a popular science. Let's go back to 1892. Aluminum and food vessels. Opinions still differ with regard to the value of aluminum for use in food-containing vessels. Lubert and Roscher asserted that aluminum was too readily acted upon to be safe. Further investigation of the subject is needed. Well, if further investigation of the subject is needed, why did it explode? Because there's money in it. Money. Popular Science, 1928. It has come to be known as the modern metal. Aluminum pots and pans that refuse to rust are indispensable to every up-to-date housewife. Every engineer recognizes the importance of lightweight aluminum. So, we're going to change to aluminum in our household, sweetheart. Oh, Granny says we better not do that. No, we're going to change. But you look at that stuff rusting all over the place. You got to take that iron, you got to season it and all of that type. No, let's get up to date. We need to get in the 20th century. Let me give you an ad just to show you what these housewives were under, what type of bombardment, what type of propaganda and pressure. Here's Life Magazine, September 11, 1939. Your kitchen deserves, and it shows the housewife in the kitchen, you know, and it says, your kitchen deserves modern aluminum cooking utensils. Old pots and pans should have been retired long ago. Food will taste better. Aluminum, the metal that is friendly to food. Well, that's hard to resist, isn't it? I mean, your housewife reading Life Magazine, friendly to my food? I want metal that's going to be friendly to my food. Here's Life Magazine, November 20th, 1939. Let's play thumbs up, thumbs down. Do you keep on using these old pots and pans, or don't we? Your 1,000 meals a year deserve up-to-date aluminum cooking utensils. And while you're at it, here's some margarine and Crisco and all of the other things that modern man wants to sell you. So along with Crisco and margarine and Dr. Spock's no spanking advice, they sold that to the women too, and a whole bunch of other things. 20th century housewives embraced aluminum, only to find out decades later it was a mistake. The time-tested ways of the grandmothers were far wiser. How can they have cut? They're not scientists. How could they have cut through all of that and been saved? God's Word does what? What's it do? It shines a light to our way, to our path, doesn't it? They could have said, you know what? I'm not going to risk that. I mean, if it was so much better, God would have showed us aluminum. Now, I'm just going to stick to the Bible. You call me old-fashioned, call me crazy, call me fanatic, call me paranoid. I know it's safe. I'm just going to stick with God's Word. Switzerland, France, Germany presently ban aluminum cookware. They ban it? In 1955, J.I. Rodell sounded the alarm about the aluminum and plastic. He wrote, "Poison in your pots and pans. Aluminum and plastic kitchenware are dangerous." Wow. So it took them 50 years of selling it for the people to begin to wake up and the science to come out, and some of these far-seeing health writers began to say, wait a second, you're poisoning yourself, folks. You're poisoning yourself. You should have stuck with what your grandmama has done. Autopsies of many people who died of Alzheimer's reveal large concentrations of aluminum in the nerve cells of the brain. Scientists at the School of Studies in Zoology at J.I.W.A.J.I. Indian University in India brand aluminum as a dangerous neurotoxin associated with Alzheimer's. And there is the article there at ncbi.nlm.nih.gov. Aluminum is also found in your antiperspirants, your antacids, your bleached flour, your baking powder, your dental fillings, your tobacco. Boy, what is not in modern tobacco, I tell you. Grated cheese, in your salt. So they just stick it in everything. Jeff Victoroff in Saving Your Brain, 2012, says, 2002, the basic facts are universally accepted. Aluminum can damage the brain and change human behavior for the worse. Here's Herman Richard Kassdorf and Dr. Morton Walker in Toxic Metal Syndrome, How Metal Poisonings Can Affect Your Brain, 1995. He says, while wrapping food in foil is a convenient cooking method, it's a hazardous practice. And if you mix a salad in an aluminum bowl and sprinkle in some vinegar and olive oil, you'll be getting a good quantity of aluminum as a dressing additive. Reduce your kitchen of aluminum altogether. Health research staff, the story of aluminum poisoning in 1996 is long known as a poison. In records printed before 1874, 33 pages were devoted to aluminum poisoning. You can see that in Allen's Encyclopedia of Materia Medica. And here we have 31 scientists and medical men stating the various ways in which aluminum has been found to be damaging, how it affects the gastrointestinal tract, the mucous membranes, the blood, the kidneys, the liver, and most of all, the reproductive organs. Oh, I'm starting to understand why we have an aluminum craze in America. Population control in effeminate men. It always goes back to that, doesn't it? Motor nerves. The effects are cumulative. Uh-oh. And minute quantities actually may cause the most harm. As far back as 1835, 1,160 verified and proven symptoms of aluminum poisoning were documented. From serious gastric troubles to skin afflictions to major diseases, hives, loss of hair, anemia, giddiness, depression, numbness, twitching of legs at night, pulmonary fibrosis, gastrohyperacidity. How many people have to go take antacids and things because of acid in their gut? Throbbing headache with constipation, heartburn, itching of skin when getting warm in bed. It robs the body, and you sit down to baked potato and aluminum, and just who knows how much of this toxic metal people put on their deodorant. I mean, it's in everything, and they're getting it in their bloodstream and in their brain and in their bodies. Itching of the skin when getting warm in bed. It robs the body of calcium and potassium, wrecking the nervous system. I mean, that can lead to seizures and all types of problems. Only the minute amounts can be absorbed into the bodily fluids. The rise of certain diseases has a close chronological relation to the increasing use of aluminum cookware. If its brightness and cheapness is more important to certain people than health, then it becomes a psychological problem of major importance. So their point is, if you like it because it's shiny and convenient, and that's more important than loading aluminum into your child's brain and giving him neurological problems, That's not a psychological problem even. That's a moral problem, isn't it? It is. It is a moral problem. Well, what did they use to put food in the Bible? It's a good question. It wasn't plastic. It wasn't aluminum. And it wasn't non-stick cookware. Teflon is tetrafluoride. Did you know that? PFOA in this cookware has been shown to cause cancer, suppressed immune system, thyroid disease, reduced fertility. There are also concerns from toxic fumes when you're cooking with it, producing flu-like symptoms. The kitchenware in the Bible was certainly not Teflon-coated. But probably most surprising of all, it was not even stainless steel. We do not find stainless steel in the Bible. However, steel is found in the Bible. You name your boy Steel, right? But not stainless steel, right? Right, all right. Yeah, well, morally stainless. Steel is found in the Bible, and it was used for things like weapons, 2 Samuel. It was a hardened iron. That's what steel is, hardened iron. But so-called stainless steel is non-rusting steel. And that was invented in 1913 by simply adding chromium and other metals to the steel. Modern stainless steel usually contains other elements such as nickel. Nickel, by the way, is a toxic metal and a known carcinogen. Nickel is actually used to give rats cancer in laboratory experiments. Nickel irritates the skin, the mucous membrane, and the respiratory tract. It's responsible for more allergic reactions than all other combined metals. Nickel depletes zinc in the body. Nickel toxicity is linked to Crohn's disease, ulcers, diarrhea, compromised digestion, arthritis, chronic fatigue, insomnia, liver damage, lupus, asthma, weak immune system, all the things that keep the doctor having a few homes around America and keeping him nice and rich and keeping you and keeping the pharmaceutical companies in business. Because all of these things, who's checking heavy metal poisoning, you know? Along with stainless steel cookware, utensils, etc., nickel is also found in hydrogenated oils and cosmetics. That's another reason to avoid hydrogenated oils. It's full of nickel. Cosmetics, people rubbing that nickel all over their face. Hexavalent chromium, which is not natural, is also found in stainless steel. It has been linked to lung cancer, infertility, complications during pregnancy and childbirth, and postnatal hemorrhage. Sad stuff. A study in the Bulletin of Environmental Contamination and Toxicology, 1994, is titled Leaching of Heavy Metals. Here you see the chromium, you see the nickel. From stainless steel utensils in food simulants and food materials. You can see that at link.springer.com. The study concludes that small quantities of nickel and chromium leach out of stainless steel in acidic and alkaline food during the cooking and storage. So really, what they know is in stainless steel, there are at least two, if not more, dangerous toxic metals that made it stainless. And they know this stuff leaches. So we know that this stuff is getting in the food. A study in 1992 concluded, it is recommended that nickel-sensitive patients, that's an interesting concept, isn't it, switch to a material other than stainless steel. Well, why? And that the stainless steel cookware industry seriously considers switching to a non-nickel formulation. Arch Environ Contam Toxicol, 1992. Stainless steel cookware is a significant source of nickel, chromium, and iron. Stainless steel that is cleaned and scoured with metallic pad can even increase the leaching. And we learn from Kayla T. Daniel, doctor, and Kayla D. Knight, doctor, in an article called Mad as a Hatter, from the Weston A. Price Foundation. Though we may honor our bodily temples with nourishing foods, we cannot realize our full health potential so long as we remain waste dumps for mercury, aluminum, cadmium, arsenic, lead, and nickel. The medical establishment currently recognizes only acute metal toxicity, the type that leads to painful, sudden, and severe symptoms. But sufferers rarely recognize slowly accumulating mercury and other metals as the culprits. I mean, they've killed people, and they didn't realize it was murder because they gave them a little bit every day, and they didn't know why they were getting sick, but because it's accumulating, you understand. And After all, fatigue, digestive distress, aching joints, and depression, to name just a few everyday complaints, are considered normal in our increasingly sick and aging society. Nickel is a growing problem because of partially hydrogenated fats in the standard American diet, and the popularity of nickel-containing jewelry, and the widespread use of stainless steel in the processing of foods, beverages, and pharmaceuticals. Unfortunately, nickel rarely shows up in your hair, even when present at toxic levels elsewhere in the body. So going and getting a test, a hair test, to see if you have heavy metal poisoning of nickel, it might not show up, but it could still be the cause. Stubborn symptoms that might be the result of nickel toxicity include allergic asthma, acid reflux, and insomnia. Note, titanium steel contains aluminum and vanadium. Artificial joints, hips, stents made from titanium, cobalt, chromium, stainless steel have resulted in heavy metal poisoning to the people. And here's a lawsuit link of people in another blog at ptca.org. And it's exploded all over the web. You'll find people talking about their stents and the things that they stuck in their body that were supposedly surgical stainless steel, which simply meant it was just stainless steel mixed with nickel and chromium and a bunch of other toxic metals. And then it comes in contact with your body's fluids, and over time, you start getting flu-like symptoms or other diseases, and there's people paying to get that stuff taken out of their body. But getting back to the point, what did they eat with in the Bible? It wasn't plastic, it wasn't aluminum, it wasn't stainless steel. It wasn't anything that modern man has invented to his own hurt. What did they eat with in the Bible? Well, let's look and see. Esther 1, they gave them drink in vessels of gold. Well, I can pretty much scratch that out. Not until we get to the millennial kingdom. I'm going to scratch that out. Silver, Genesis 44, and he put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest. All right, good old silver cup. I don't think you'll afford that either. But if you did, it probably wouldn't be full silver. You see what I mean? I mean, you got to look at the... What's that? See? Probably. I don't know. It's a good question. But because you're getting chemicals and leaching no matter what, so I don't know. Yes, probably. Wood. They had vessels of wood in the Bible. Exodus 7, and there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood. And you see that in other places. Now, you can't go wrong with wood, except the polish they stick on it. So I have a warning here. It doesn't mean wood's bad. It means that you have to explore what type of finish. And I talked to a person that makes these wood dishes for a living. And he was showing me how they use various things for the finish. And they use mineral oil. And I was like, well, can't you use something else? He said, yeah, olive oil, beeswax, you can use any of that stuff. I'm like, well, that's what I use then. If I'm going to make this stuff, I'm going to stick something edible on the finish, you know? And so all over the internet, there's websites and videos on how to make your own wood polish. It's really a neat thing to see them do. Take a little tree and a little log and make a bowl out of it and polish it all up and make it pretty with the beeswax and things. And I tell you what. Yes, sir, brother. So what you're saying is it's not only a sealer, but you can use natural stains that... Okay. Stone. I tell you what, some good old stone vessels. Exodus 7:19, vessels of stone. Today you can buy soapstone, stoneware, and baking stones. They sell them all over the internet. And, you know, getting back to some stoneware that doesn't have some type of glaze on it or something that you got to watch out for, but just some good basic stoneware. And they use that in the Bible. They used a lot of baskets in the Bible. And that's cheap. And baskets were often used to serve and carry and serve food. That doesn't make much sense, does it? Genesis 40, in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. Exodus 29, bread that is in the basket. Judges 6, the flesh he put in a basket. Jeremiah 24, one basket had very good figs. Amos 8, a basket of summer fruit. Jeremiah 6, a grape gatherer into the baskets. Mark 6, they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. So what we're finding is natural. Natural. Natural things. God made it for you to use. And we need to get back to natural things and not all of these newfangled discoveries that are supposed to bless man and don't bless anybody. They just curse everybody. And then there's pottery. Pottery was often kitchenware in the Bible. Isaiah 64, now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art the potter. And there's just one little warning on pottery. Imported pottery often contains high levels of lead. This is from the FDA.gov website. It says, lead may be present in the glazes or decorations covering the surface of some traditional pottery. Lead can affect nearly every bodily system, and it's linked to learning difficulties. Traditional pottery and other forms of ceramic ware are made with earthenware, a porous form of clay which must be glazed in order for the pottery to hold food or liquid. Today, many potters of traditional or folk pottery, often in Mexico, have switched to non-lead glazes, and that's good. But they may be still using old kilns that are contaminated by lead. So test the pottery. Consumers can buy lead testing kits in hardware stores or online. But be aware that no amount of washing, boiling, or other process can remove the lead from the pottery. I got this lead test today, and I called them, and they said it's mainly for sheetrock and paint and things, but they said you can use it for pots and pans. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to take something, some pot that I knew had lead in it, and then test it to make sure it's working, and then use it to verify. So there's various lead tests you can buy in hardware stores that might be helpful if you just prove it works.
Pottery.
Oh, okay.
It was awesome. A pretty common thing. I think they tried to clean it up. It used to be pottery from Mexico would always have lead in it.
That's what we need, one specifically for your pottery. That'd be awesome. But, nevertheless, pottery would be a wonderful thing to go to if you can just keep the glaze or at least make sure it doesn't have that lead in the glaze. Now, what about glass? Glass is not specifically mentioned as kitchenware in the Bible, but Job does speak of crystal as a great treasure in Job 28. And so, I would say glass would be a wonderful, safe thing to go with. The only problem is, modern crystal can contain lead. Glass was made for thousands of years from sand and potash and limestone. But in the 1600s, somebody said, wow, you put lead in this stuff, and it's very pretty. So they created lead crystal. The greater the lead, the greater the ping and the sparkle. But lead poisoning can disrupt brain functions and lead to odd neurological patterns. Los Angeles Times says an unclear danger. Crystal may be lovely to look at, but a new study suggests lead content may make it harmful to use. 1991. According to Graziano and Dr. Conrad Blum, who recently published preliminary results of their investigation, lead in the world's most precious crystal may be migrating into the liquids it holds. Lead levels that were considered insignificant in the past are today thought to be hazardous, said Jerome Smith, executive director of Lead Industries. You got these crystal beads that the children love to play with and put in their mouth and chew on them, and they're filled with lead. It's crystal lead that they're licking on, you know. As for all other glass dishes or cookware, it's best to conduct a home lead test, as we said. Lead is often found in toys, drinking glasses from China. Decorative enamel logos have been found to have up to 30% lead. That's in recent time. The government says they only want 0.3% lead in any product that's imported, but they found up into these Chinese, when you look at your cup, and it's glass, but it's color on the outside of some kind. They found up to 30% lead in it, as well as toxic cadmium. So Here's Huffington Post saying federal regulators have worried that toxic metals rubbing onto children's hands from the outside of the glass can get into their mouths. It might not be on the inside, but as they're holding the outside of that pretty little mug or cup or whatever it is, and then putting their finger in their mouth and stuff, that, you know, neurological problems, who knows what in the world, toxic metal poisoning, coming in contact with things that former generations would have been free from, largely. Okay, so I would say overall glass is safe, as long as it's not old crystal from your great-grandmother or something. And in doubt, let's get something that'll test it. And just test it. If you're going to use it to look at, that's great. But if you plan on touching it and drinking out of it, let's get a tester and see what type of lead is in that glass, and glass would be safe. Iron. Now, this is quite controversial, but the only way I can weed through modern controversies is just grab that Bible. And the natural health community has lots of division and controversy, and depending on what products they're endorsing and who... See, it's a business too. Natural health is a business. They have to make money. They have to sell products. And therefore, the only way that we can weed through all of these controversies, you know, just take the Bible. Just grab the Bible. And we got to be careful that we're interpreting it right. But there was a time when it says cane, sweet cane in the Bible. And I said, well, I guess cane sugar is okay, as long as it's not refined. And we had the first cavity in my home. Out of all my children, we've only had one cavity, but it was back when Valerie was doing that cane juice, because I thought that was acceptable. And then when I got my first cavity in my house, I said, something's wrong in my household, because that's just not right. Something's wrong. And I said, I'm going to look back at this sugar cane. And sure enough, I find out the context was talking about incense. It had nothing to do with a sugar cane plant. It was a sweet cane incense that was well known at that time. And so that's when my eyes said, okay, I'm open now. And I began to explore when cane sugar came about and when it began to be used, and how people had observed people on cane sugar realized they would get sluggish and all the modern effects of diabetes and everything. And so it's pretty much a quick trip to diabetes is what cane sugar is. It's a drug. But it does show me that even if you think you see something in the Bible, you got to be careful. Amen? We got to be careful. But Ezekiel 4, you have one verse. And God says to Ezekiel, moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan. A pan in the Bible is always for cooking. Leviticus 7, all the meat offering that is bacon in the oven, bacon, B-A-K-E-N, in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan, and in the pan shall be the priest that offer it. So it appears that iron is a safe vessel for kitchenware. The warning that we would give to iron was simply avoid iron or aluminum cookware with an enamel coating, which is a porcelain glass-like coating. Enamel is a composite of glass and metal. Older or imported enameled pots should be certainly avoided. They're made from toxic cadmium and lead, but modern enamel coating may also leach toxins. Enamel is made from glass, silicon, often with metal modifiers and pigments and everything else. And underneath the often chipped coating is often aluminum. So the point would be to go back to the old-fashioned iron cookware and put some coconut oil on it or something and keep it clean. And it seems to be safe. Seems to be safe. Iron, pottery, glass to some degree, wood, stone, just how people have done for thousands of years before they started pretending they're smart. So what's the conclusion? The conclusion is this. The goal of this study is to provoke us simply to consider how much biblical knowledge is lost by ignoring what might appear to be unimportant history in the Scriptures. But this history is inspired history. When we read that Jacob sent a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds as a gift to the great leader in Egypt, Joseph. We should pause and examine these things and consider their great value for us today. We now know almonds have been shown to improve memory, reduce Alzheimer's risk. What else are we missing that would bless our lives and give us more strength and health to serve the Lord? Now, there is a sense when wisdom frees you up to live a better life, a stronger life, a healthier life. But there is a sense which it can bring sorrow if you look at it wrong. You know, it can be a sense when people sigh and say, well, what else is wrong now? I hope he doesn't study toilet paper next. You know, there's that attitude. And my point is simply, look, if we're doing things different than they did in the Bible to such a great degree, and God's people all around the country are complaining of all of the... You listen to the prayer requests around the church. They're dying, they're sick, they're afflicted. Maybe if you get the heavy metal out of your son's room, literally, and the music, and the you know, quit licking heavy metal, maybe some of these things would disappear. And it's worth a try, isn't it? And I'm the type of person that is, if you say, well, you're quite paranoid of modern man. Yes, I am. I'm paranoid of all of it. And I call it a godly fear, though. I call it a healthy, godly fear. And you know, I've tested it, and I've achieved great results by following God. I don't apologize for it. I'm not going to come at your house and inspect your cookware. I'm trying to be a blessing to you, you understand? I'm trying to be a blessing because I don't like to see you get sick. I don't like to see you have reproductive problems. I don't like to see you having neurotic problems and skin problems and all of this stuff. And to me, when we're saying, Lord, will you please heal it, and we're taking time, and I think you ought to, you come and bring your request. Let's pray for you. But I'm thinking, isn't there some presumption in not trying to be as wise as we can? Remember, the Lord was provoked by Satan, tempted. Why don't you just jump down off the temple there and God will catch you. He's got promises. He'll take care of his own. And Jesus knew that's a lie from Satan. And he rebuked it. And all I'm telling you, do everything you can. Do everything you can to be healthy and see what type of fruit you get from it. Everything that I've done, our health and our family increases. And it just increases in an amazing way. And the countenance, the complexion, all these little problems start going away. And I get excited. What's the next thing I can find? What's the next thing I can learn biblical wisdom about that will increase my family's health? All right, my dear brother. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not what? All his benefits, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And 1 Corinthians 1, where's the wise? Oh, you mean like the ones that invented Crisco and margarine? Where's the wise? Oh, you mean like the ones that told us aluminum was all right? Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You know, we could just look in the 20th century. It says, look at man boasting and thinking how smart he is. And I look a few decades later, what a fool he was. You can look back, the whole history of man has been that. I found something that my forefathers didn't know. And look, it's not even in God's Word because they didn't understand this stuff, you know. You fool. God's going to make you. God's going to stop your mouth. God's going to laugh at you. I tell you what, God says wisdom's going to laugh when your calamity cometh. Because we ought not boast ourselves against God. Amen? Now, I would ask spiritually, what kind of vessel are you? Because if we've learned a lot about vessels, we've learned that we ought to be a natural vessel. Amen? We ought to be natural. The way God intended us to be. Not going after strange flesh, not perverted. I tell you, we know what's the problem with people today. They're not very natural, are they? They're perverted. Homosexuality is not natural, is it? No. And look what it says in Jeremiah 18. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that you were marred? But he says, well, I'll fix it. I'll fix it. And he recreated us, and praise God. But you know, even in our Christian life, we get out here and we make a mess of ourselves. And sometimes Jesus has to fix us. Amen? Hey, let Jesus fix you. Amen? Let Him fix you. Let's go to the Word of God. Let Him fix you. Let Him fix you morally. Let Him fix you physically. And what about this one? 1 Thessalonians 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The Bible says that's all you really are. Your body is just a vessel. You're a vessel. And we ought to possess this vessel in honor. We ought to take care of our vessel. Amen? It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. We ought to take care of it and possess it in moral purity. And finally, my last verse before I give you one more thing is 2 Timothy 2. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I noticed that even in that house where there were lower vessels and richly vessels, that there wasn't any aluminum. There wasn't any plastic. You see that? Do you see how he skips over all of that? If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You know what the Bible's saying? The Bible's saying is who you hang around with is going to largely determine what you become. And if you would purge yourself as a vessel from those that are not living right, still love them, do everything you can to help them, but don't let them contaminate you. God will use you. God will use you. And so, young men, I want you all to remember this, and any young men listening to this sermon tonight, I want you to remember, if you want to hang out with a bunch of queers in the music, if you want to listen to queer music and idolize these people, it's going to affect your life, you understand? If you want to follow rappers or rock and roll people, whoever they are, with their attitude and rebellion, that rebellion is going to rub off on you, and it'll change what you become in life. It'll change what you become in life. He that walks with fools is going to end up being destroyed, says the Bible. Now, let me give one more thing to you here, and then we'll open up the floor. We've talked about these metals such as stainless steel leaching, nickel and some of these other dangerous toxic metals. We haven't even touched upon radioactivity. And this has been buried in the news. Scripps Howard News Service, June 3rd, 2009. Recycled radioactive metal contaminates consumer products. Hey, they got to put the radioactive metal that they're using in the medical industry, in the military, they got to put it somewhere, don't they? Well, somebody, what do you think they did with the fluoride? Somebody scratched their head and said, hey man, just dump it around the country in these recycle places and turn it into stainless steel. And put it back in their armchairs and in their forks and knives. And it'll be all right. A little bit of radioactivity ain't gonna hurt nobody. Thousands of everyday products and materials containing radioactive metals are surfacing across the United States and around the world. Tableware manufactured with contaminated metals have been identified. Let's sit down at the table. This is nice. Well, I got a little bit of nickel in my food there. Not only that, I got a little bit of radioactivity. God forbid, amen? Here's agmetalminer.com, February 17, 2009. Radioactive stainless steel found in Germany. It's just somebody decided, hey, let me get a Geiger counter, whatever it is that finds that radioactivity and measures it. Let me just test this for a second. They're finding out that, whoa. PTI, September 2012, just this year, or last year, radioactive stainless steel household products from India and in Sri Lanka. Stainless steel household products, radioactive. You say, well, why is it ending up in the stainless steel? Ah, you got to find out what stainless steel is. Wikipedia. An average stainless steel object is composed of about what? 60% what? Recycled material. Where do you think they're getting the material to make stainless steel from? From the local metal yard. And if folks are in a wicked, deceptive, or maybe some big conspiracy, whatever it is, if they're mixing radioactive components with that stuff, it's all getting recycled. And, you know, you try to stay away from a dentist and you tell him, can I sign a little contract here with you or something? Because I don't want you putting no handheld little radioactive x-ray near my skull. And then you sit down, you're lazy boy, and you're sitting, it's radioactive. Well, we're in a mess today, aren't we? And I understand the feeling. Well, then forget it. Who cares? But you know what? I got wooden rocking chairs around my house. You know, I'm not trying to tell you I'm so much better than you, because I probably got a lot of mess around my house that I still haven't discovered yet. And all I'm saying is, let's try to be wise. Do what you can. Roll up your sleeves and let's leave a heritage to our children. Amen. I'm fighting not only for my life and my family, but if the Lord was to somehow seem to tarry, I would like to leave a heritage of what's right and prepare the way for them. Let's just read a little more. Idaho Observer 2009. In 2006 in Texas, for example, a recycling facility inadvertently created 500,000 pounds of radioactive steel byproducts after melting metal that was contaminated. A true picture regarding the magnitude of the problem is difficult to perceive because there are no state or federal agencies responsible for oversight and metal recyclers. I mean, imagine that. Imagine somebody saying, oh, dentist, I don't want the, can you come and put this, I don't want you bringing this radioactivity x-ray stuff near my head. And imagine the dentist giggling and says, well, you ought to see what I'm sticking in your mouth, buddy. It's radioactive anyway. A true picture regarding the magnitude of the problem is difficult to perceive because there are no state or federal agencies responsible for oversight, and metal recyclers are not equipped to check for radioactive metal. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know how much radioactive metal has been melted into consumer goods, says Ray Turner, an international expert on radiation. It's your worst nightmare, Turner added. Reports are mounting that manufacturers and dealers from China, India, Soviet bloc nations, and some African countries are exporting contaminated material. Just like the situation with fluoride, though no health benefit to radioactive metal exposure has been sold to the gullible public through prostituted media or corrupt politicians, it is cheaper and easier for businesses to use contaminated metal than dispose of it properly. The bottom line conclusion is that there is no safe level of radiation exposure. Wolf reported that, according to the NAS report, there is a direct relationship between radiation and an increased risk of cancer. Prolonged exposure can lead to birth defects, cataracts, studies have shown. Last summer, a Flint, Michigan scrap plant discovered a beat-up kitchen cheese grater that was radioactive. Scripps Howard News Service, again, in June 2009, says 36 states have nowhere to dump low-level radioactive material. Cast-off radioactive material is piling up at factories and, in turn, increasingly getting lost, says John Williamson, administrator of Florida's Bureau of Radiation Control. And finally, Scripps Howard News Service tells us again that Texas has higher number of radioactive metal incidents. For more than a month in the summer of 2006, a metal recycler in Longview, Texas, produced 500,000 pounds of radioactive material, state and federal documents show. The Luterno case was one of 2,147 incidents identified in Texas since 1990, the most of any state, and that's just in Texas. And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. Nobody's doing anything about it. So, just one more reason to go back to nature. Go back to nature. Go back to nature. But I want to have a good family. What do I do? Go back to the Bible and start doing things the way they did earlier. You know, you got to use the Bible. Don't take everything your forefathers did, but be careful what you reject of our forefathers, because a lot of times there's a lot of thought, a lot of generations, a lot of biblical wisdom that went into what our forefathers have done. Yes, my brother. What is radiation? Well, I'll give somebody else another chance to answer that. I don't want to take the whole floor. What? Something to do with uranium? Brother? Steve? So they give that to you then to try to get your cancer, to kill your cancer. That didn't make much sense, does it?
Yeah, that totally doesn't make sense. Because they're shooting, it's basically man has messed around with something and made it unstable so that all God's things fit together and are stabilized and different things form together. Radioactive is when they've made it unstable and it's shooting ions out, you know, and so it shoots holes in you, you know. Kills. That's why they do try to kill cancer with it, because they're shooting little ions into your body to kill